Psalm chapter 53, and we'll be looking at this psalm in its entirety, verses 1 through 6. The title of the message this evening is, Fear Not the Foolish. Fear not the foolish. The scripture says in verse 1, The fool hath said in his heart, There is no God. The fool has said in his heart, There is no God. There was once a missionary who was ready to preach the gospel in a faraway country to a cannibalistic tribe. And as he was boarding the plane, one of the men said, You're a fool. They'll kill you. And that missionary turned and replied, A man is not a fool to give up what he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose. Friends, we cannot keep this life. Only a fool would have his best life now. Only a fool. Every man is born truly a fool. We all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the lust of our flesh and the desires of our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So when we talk of this foolish man, this man hath said in his heart, this fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Know this, he was talking about every one of us. Every one of us are born breathing our first breath, we are fools. You can see this in usually the children and the young adults who think that life is something guaranteed. I cannot fathom the foolish things that I have done, thinking that it could happen to everyone else but me. I was bulletproof. I was invincible. I was a fool. I was a fool. We come into this world hardened against God, loving the things of this life, and striving to get more, always striving for more. Is that not the natural man, always coveting? And when you get it, you always want more. And that's not enough, because once you get it, you got to keep it. And so you struggle to keep it. All the while, time is ticking. The moments are fleeting. This flesh is dying. And we were worried about stupid, foolish things. Scripture says, For it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Friends, it is appointed. We have no vote in this. We have no say-so in this. It is appointed of God when and where and how we will die. It is appointed. And immediately after that is judgment. The scripture says Lazarus died and was carried into the bosom of Abraham. The rich man died also, and he opened his eyes immediately in hell. Judgment's that fast. That fast. Are you such a fool? Are you such a fool to try to keep this life? Are you such a fool as you would hang on to the fleeting joys and pleasures of this mortal life, knowing that you are appointed to die? What a fool. What a fool. Jesus said, Whosoever keepeth his life will lose it. You want this life? There it is. You'll lose it in the end. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that the Lord had said such a thing as that. Whosoever loses life, we gladly give up this life for him. I'd much rather have him. You can have all this world. Give me Christ. Give me Christ. There was a story of a medieval king who had a jester. And this jester always made him laugh. Very, very funny man. And so when the king was sad, he'd call this jester in, and they called him fools. He'd call this fool in. He said, "Fool, make me laugh." And the jester would do a silly story, or he would make a gesture, or he would fall down, and the king would be happy. One day, the king fell sick and was nigh to death. Oh, I'm sorry. He made him laugh. He made him laugh so much that the king handed out this scepter. He gave his royal scepter to this fool. He said, "When you find a fool greater than yourself, give the scepter to him." And the king began to die. He was in his last days, and he called his jester to make him laugh. And the jester asked him, "Are you all right?" He said, "No, I'm dying. I'm going on a long journey." The jester said, "Have you prepared for this journey? Have you known about this journey?" And he said, "Yes, I've known of it for a long time. And no, I'm not prepared to go." And the fool handed the scepter to the king. He said, "I finally found a greater fool than me. You are a fool to think this life lasts. We are fools, and we're born this way. There's no greater fool than a man who knows his mortality, knows he will die, and yet all he cares about is the wealth, rank, and happiness of this old carnal, dying flesh. What a fool." The scripture says, For as for a man, his days are as grass. The flower of the field so flourisheth, the wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof is known no more." Friends, one day we will go to the grave, and I imagine that maybe one or two generations may think of us, but after that, no more memory of us. There will be no more memory that we were even here. None. Wind passes over, it's gone. Ecclesiastes 9 tells us, a live dog is better than a dead lion, because in life there's hope. Friends, there's only hope in life. He says, "For the living knows that he shall die, but the dead know nothing. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten altogether." Forgotten altogether. All men by nature know there's a God. They know that they're dying. And yet, they prove this by judging one another. Isn't that right? Every society has some set of laws, and yet they themselves who judge do the very same things that they judge others for. I'll tell you what, if a man is very envious, usually he'll try to find envy in everyone else. Whatever our sin is that's greatest to us, surely we look for that in others. This is natural for men to do this. How then do men think they'll escape the judgment of God? How is it possible that you will judge a man and yet you will not expect to be judged of God? That's a fool. A fool. A foolish man is arrogant to suppose that all is well, or by ignoring the impending judgment, that somehow it'll pass over. Isn't that how we deal with a lot of our problems? Just ignore them and stick our head in the sand and suppose they'll go away? That's just the natural way of doing things, because we're foolish. We're foolish. To ignore the reality of God's existence or to ignore His right to judge is nothing but stupidity and ignorance. And friends, the root of all of this foolishness is the heart. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. This word heart, what does that mean? When God speaks of the heart, what is He talking about? He is talking about the very core of our being. The very innermost being that makes us who we are. Each one of us are individual. We're different. But we have this in common. We have the same core. The same heart. A foolish heart that says there is no God. We are corrupt from the core. And this scripture here, if you look at your text, there the scripture says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. These words, there is, are in italics. That means they're not there in the original text, but the translators put them there to help us. So you can either read this with or without those words. First of all, let's read it with the words. He says, there is no God. Have you known a day greater than our day where men actually stand up and profess atheism, like in our day? They wear it around their neck like a badge of honor. I'm an atheist. We live in a day where men defy boldly the existence of God. They mock men of faith. They suppose themselves to be God. Make no mistake about it, that's their faith. Their faith is in themselves. Their trust is in themselves to be God. But, friends, who is more foolish than an atheist? Who is actually more foolish to deny that there actually is a God? These are the greatest fools of all. The second way to read this is the fool has said in his heart, no God. No. I've heard that word before from my children. And when they tell me that word, I get kind of upset. When I tell them to do something and they would say, no! But that's exactly what we said to God. No. We are like those men that Jesus talked about in the parable that said to the king, I will not have this man to rule over me. That's the core of our hearts. That's the core of our natures. Foolish. In Psalm chapter 2, it says, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth have set themselves against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Now, I'll tell you what. You can say that all you want to. You can say, no, no. It doesn't matter. God still rules you. God still reigns over all men. How foolish. God says He shall have them in derision. If you are a foolish person, listen to me, the God of heaven shall laugh at you. The God of heaven shall laugh at you. Do you suppose if you one day walked up to an ant and an ant stood up and stood out all six of his little hands at you and he said, I hate you, I'll defy you. You would laugh with contempt and step on him. And it would be the end. That's exactly how men are to God. It's foolish. It's arrogant. It's pride. Men are so corrupt to rebel against God. Scripture says in 2 Chronicles 13:12, O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. Why do you kick so hard against the prick? Why do men kick so hard against God? They won't prosper. They all die. They all are defeated. They all suffer eternal damnation. And yet they still kick. They still spit in the face of God. How foolish. Friends, God has set His king. God has set His king. And God didn't ask us who we would like to be king. God set His king, His son. Scripture says, kiss the son, lest he be angry with you. Lest he be angry with you. Scripture says that he will break men like an iron rod against a clay pot. How easily is a clay pot broken with the swipe of a rod, an iron rod? That's how easily men are destroyed in hell. That's how easily men are cast into everlasting chains of darkness. I want to be clear. This text is speaking of universal depravity of man. This is who we are by nature. This is who we are by nature. And God says this in verse 2. He says, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. And what did God find? God Almighty, who does not miss anything, whose eye is a flame of fire, who is a consuming fire. He sees all. He's omnipotent, omniscient, all wise. And He has looked. He has searched the heart of every man. And what did He find? Every one of them is gone back. What do the foolish atheists teach men? That men are evolving. Men are going forward. God says, you've gone back. You know why every preacher, if you were to listen to men before, they would say their generation was the worst. But I'll tell you what, that's not true now because our generation is worse. And I'll tell you this, get this, the next generation will be worse than us. Why? Because they all go back. They've all fallen backwards. They are altogether become filthy. And there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Are you so stupid? That's what God says. Have you no knowledge at all? Have I not written my law in your hearts? Have I not set examples daily in front of you that you will die and face judgment? And yet you would continue in this? You would still be filthy? Men are altogether become fools. Is there any hope for fools? As a fool, speaking to fools, I tell you yes. There is hope for such fools. I have found hope. I have found life. I have found understanding. And it's only to be found by the grace of God. Only by grace. Verse 4, it says, have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread. They have not called upon God. Truly, men have knowledge of God. They have knowledge of death. But the matter of their earthly knowledge is no way going to give them heavenly knowledge. You cannot learn this by some academic study. You cannot understand the things of God because these things are not carnal. They're spiritual. They have to deal with the immortal soul of men, not with the carnal flesh. This flesh will die. The soul will exist forever. Scripture says they, professing themselves to be wise, became fools. Is it not the record, time and time again in history, that religion, false religion, always seems to try to silence God's people? Have you ever seen those foolish people who have that bumper sticker, coexist? Oh, that just, I don't know why, that just infuriates me to death. I just think they're the biggest fools in all the world. God's people are like sheep. And He likens us to sheep because of a very specific reason. We are helpless and defenseless against the enemies of this world. Someone once said that a lie will go around the world three times before truth puts on its shoes. That's just the way it is. And so we're helpless at times. We feel helpless. We feel like our voice is stifled. We feel like when we witness it, nothing happens. Everyone's voices are drowning us out, like we're not being heard. We cry to men and say, death is coming. Justice and judgment is coming. We are watchmen on the tower. The enemy's at the gate. And our voice gets drowned out by fools. We feel helpless and defenseless. But here's the hope. Here's the hope. Friend, God has a people. There's hope. If you're a fool in need of hope and understanding, know this, the hope is that God has chosen him a people. God has chosen him a people. In His holy, sovereign mercy, from before the foundation of the world, God chose him a people. And not that these people were any different than anybody else. Scripture says that God takes of the same lump to make vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. See, there's no difference in the man. The man doesn't make the difference. He's the same worthless lump of clay as everyone else. Who makes the difference? God does. God takes that foolish man, and by His own sovereign power and grace, He molds him into a vessel fit for glory. That's amazing. That's simply amazing. And it's very important for us to see this. Otherwise, we become proud. Friends, grace is never a proud doctrine. It's always an humble, humiliating doctrine. God makes vessels of honor according to His own sovereign grace. But to make a vessel of dishonor, what does God have to do? All God has to do is give him life, put up with his foolish, stubborn, arrogant sin, and let him alone. You see, the vessels fitted for dishonor are fitted by their own sin. You see, God just simply does nothing to them or for them. And they perish in their sins. Grace must be given. God's work must be done in the heart of the fool to make him wise unto salvation. Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him and whom He has sent. Faith. Do you know that's the work of God? That is the craftsmanship of God in the soul, is to produce faith in a man who's faithless. Do you believe on the Son of God? That's the work of God. That's not your work. That's not my work. It is the work of God. The foolish man has no reverence of God's work. You know, if I desire to help God save me, I'll do it later. I'll do it when I please. No, you won't. You better beg God for mercy, because maybe He'll just leave you to yourself. Man needs the work of God. And friends, when this work of God comes, know this, we are a persecuted people. We are boldly persecuted at. And He said, they eat up my people like bread. In other words, they demolish. They seem to destroy the works of the church. They always are attacking God's people. The wicked seem to prosper and the godly seem to suffer. Is that not always how it's been? Look over to Psalm 73. I love this man, Asaph. We have a lot in common. We have a lot in common. Look what he said in verse 3. He said, "For I was envious at who? The foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there were no bands in their death, but their strength was firm." In other words, they didn't fear death. If you'll notice, these guys go around and they boast against God. They blaspheme against God. They have no fear of God. And death does not bother them. Bothers the heck out of me. I'm telling you. At times, it just overwhelms you, the fear of death. But they have no bonds in their death. They're not troubled like other men. Neither are they plagued like I am. Their pride compasseth them about like a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out in fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. They're corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. Man, their tongue walks through the earth. It goes fast. It just spreads like wildfire. Their blasphemous lies go out and people just take them in, just drink them in as though they were fact. Therefore, God's people return hither. And the waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. What does that mean? God's people return always to Him. When the wicked prosper, where does God's people go? We go to His throne. We bow down and seek His mercy. We want to find solace at His feet. And a full cup is wrung out. You take a dry cloth and it's light. It's fluffy. Dip it in some water. What happens? It becomes heavy. How often are we dipped into the troubles of this life? We become weighed down with difficulties. And the world just wrings us out. Tears flow from our eyes. Sorrows come from our hearts. We ache. We suffer. We have pains and difficulties in this life. We have trials and tribulations. Where do we go? Go to God. Go to your refuge. Have we trials and temptations? Yes. Is there trouble anywhere? Yes. Never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. There, they were in great fear. That's our text. Go back to your text. This is us. There were they in great fear. I'm always afraid. Fear comes on us in a moment's notice without any reason, rhyme, just fear. What causes us to fear? It's our circumstance. It's how we perceive things, what we're looking at that causes us to fear. We look at the world and where it's going, we fear. We look at our nation, where it's going, we fear. We see all these people boldly speaking against God and gaining the masses, and we fear. We're in great fear. But notice what God says. Where no fear was. Friends, we fear where there is no fear. There's no fear to fear. There's nothing to fear. Why? For God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised them. I'm so glad that God has set himself against my enemies. Against those who would eat me as bread, God has set himself between me and them. No fear. If God stands between me and all my foes, there is no fear. There's no fear. I want to show us a couple illustrations of this in Scripture. Go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 7. There was a great famine, so much so that they were eating the heads of donkeys. That was the prize meal of the day. If you can find a donkey's head and you were wealthy, you had a great meal. They were starving to death. And God's man comes and he says, the Lord's message is tomorrow. Tomorrow at this time, there'll be so much food that it's sold for basically nothing. And the king, he said, if God opened the windows of heaven, how could this be? How is this possible? And the man of God said, well, you'll see it, but you won't taste it. And then we read of these three lepers who have no idea what was transpiring. They just know they were hungry. And they said, if we stay here, we're going to die. If we go in the city, we're going to die. Why don't we just go out here to these enemies of ours and we just go see? Maybe they'll spare us, but if they don't, we're going to die anyway. So they go out to the camp of the Syrians. You know what they find? Nobody. God had already scattered that people and made them leave all their stuff. And these three lepers, they start grabbing that food and eating and getting so full. And then they say, well, we gotta have some saved up. So they go and they bury some treasure. They bury it for themselves. And they come back and there's still so much more. And they say, well, man, we gotta share this with somebody because we can't keep this to ourselves. We don't have enough digging space to bury all this stuff. And so they go in the city and they say, there's food! The enemy's gone! Isn't that what God says to the fool? God has scattered our enemies by the death of His Son. God has already accomplished the victory. The victory's won. There is nothing to fear. They're gone. My sins are gone. Why? Because Jesus Christ bore my sins in His own body on the tree, and God meted out all the justice that I deserve on Him. Oh, there's nothing left but treasures for me. Nothing left but eternal life and riches. The second example was found in 2 Kings 19. This is talking about Hezekiah when he received the letter from the Syrian king. And he said, look, we've done destroyed everybody else. What makes you think that your God's going to save you? Their gods didn't save them. Your God won't save you either. And Hezekiah got that letter, and he was so afraid. And he took that letter, and he spread it out before the Lord. And if you'll, it's distinct. He spread each page out before the Lord. He said, God, help. 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 And God sent one angel and destroyed 165,000 men in one night. And that king went back home with his tail between his legs. God wins the victory. He tells Hezekiah, he said, not one arrow will fly over your wall. There's nothing to fear. I've already won the victory. Do you fear? Why do we fear when there is no fear? Go back to your text and we'll finish this. Oh, that salvation, the salvation of Israel, were come out of Zion. When God bringeth back the captivity of His people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Friends, God's salvation has come. Why did God save that little city, Zion? Because His Christ was to come out of Zion. And He did come out of Zion. He did come out. And He has saved His people. The Scripture says, them He foreknew, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And them He called, He also justified. And them He justified, He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can stand against us? Who's going to accuse me? God justified me. Christ died and rose again for me. Who shall separate me from His love? Not the foolish. Let the fools rage. Let them do their worst. My Savior stands between me and them. There is no fear. There is no fear. I pray that God would comfort you. Spread it out before the Lord, whatever it is. He cares for you. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer.